There's been an interesting study carried out by the Ulster University into the harrowing topic of domestic violence. And I want to speak to Dr. Jessica Doyle about this. Dr. Doyle, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Yeah, it's a study that shows how victims of domestic violence, it's a strange word to use, benefited from the peace process in Northern Ireland. Tell me about the main kernel of this, please.
So essentially the study was a comparative study. So the first part was carried out in 1992 and involved 56 interviews with women victim survivors of domestic violence. And then obviously at that point, the conflict in Northern Ireland was ongoing. So then the second part of the study was carried out in 2016 and also involved 63 interviews with victims survivors of domestic violence. And essentially what we were tracking was how experiences of and responses to domestic violence changed over time, where progress was made, where progress wasn't made, and crucially what difference peace made to experiences of domestic violence.
So how did peace play its part? I'm going to suggest off the top of my head, maybe the police had more time to investigate things properly, or maybe the police were better educated on the issue 10 or 15 years later. Maybe the police failed people, women, some men, but particularly women, back at the height of the Troubles. Maybe I'm concentrating too much on the police. Were abusers getting away with it because paramilitary groups or organizations were protecting them? What's the correlation?
Yeah, so there's actually three main correlations, two of which you've mentioned. So the first was the police. So yes, in 1992, domestic violence in the conflict situation was not seen as a priority issue for policing. But then there were also a number of other issues. First of all, we know that at the time, the composition of the police force was made up almost entirely of officers from a Protestant background. And what that meant was that victim survivors of domestic violence in nationalist communities and Catholic backgrounds didn't really see the police force as an organization that they could essentially go to. So women in the study said that they wouldn't report domestic violence, that they couldn't bring police into their areas. And then also the police, for their part, said that they were reluctant to respond calls from within nationalist communities, but also from within unionist working class communities for fear of ambush. So they essentially couldn't respond, and where they did often have to be with an army escort. And all that had changed by 2016. So we know that domestic violence is now a priority issue for policing. We know that, you know, all women in the 2016 study said that they view the police as an organization they could go to, and that's linked to policing reform, changes to the composition of the police force. And also police could respond to calls from within all communities. And what that meant was that whereas in 1992, the vast majority of participants reported negative experiences with the police, in 2016, around two-thirds of participants said that the police were helpful and were an organization that they found helpful for them. And so we see a very big increase there, and we don't see that same increase with other organizations. So with social workers and general practitioners, the level of positive appraisals was similar and stayed actually quite low. So we do see that it's quite isolated to the police, which does suggest that the end of the conflict had a change. Then with regards to paramilitary groups, we see a change certainly there. However, what was really surprising from our study was that there was something of a continuity in the use of paramilitary groups or connections to paramilitary organizations by perpetrators of domestic violence to control women and to stop them from approaching the police. So even still in the 2016 study, around 17% of participants reported this. Where there was a change was that a number of these participants kind of had an idea that these connections were fictitious, and so they weren't as controlling. So we see the impact of demobilization there. And then the final issue where domestic violence is kind of connected to the conflict was the presence of guns. So in the 1992 study, the presence and the use of guns in domestic violence relationships to threaten victims was one of the main features reported by women in the study. by 2016, only two women in the study reported the use of firearms in domestic violence situations. So we see a massive increase, or a massive decrease, sorry, in the use of guns in domestic violence situations. And this is really important because, you know, the use of guns in domestic violence situations very strongly linked to homicide and serious injury. And we also saw a change in how police respond to legally held weapons in domestic violence situations. So in 1992, during the conflict, the police were very reluctant to remove legally held personal protection weapons, even in domestic violence situations, and tended to return them. Whereas in 2016, both participants had reported the use of guns to the police, and in both cases, they had been immediately removed and not returned.
Yeah, and very sadly, there were examples of police officers being guilty of that as well, because domestic violence comes from all walks of life, from all corners of society.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Our thoughts, I suppose, this morning, just very briefly, should be with the victims of domestic violence all down through those decades, some of whom might be listening to the programme this morning and are remembering horrific times, or indeed might still be going through horrific experiences. Our thoughts should be with them. I think you'd agree with that, Dr. Doyle.
Absolutely, of course. I mean, we're so indebted to the women who told us their stories in the study. And we really hope that it acts for a catalyst for change. There are a number of areas where policy changes are needed, and we hope to see them on the back of the study.
Okay. Dr. Jessica Doyle from the Ulster University, interesting research there. And there are indeed numbers available, and I will bring them to you just after the news.